By the end of the decade, America's stockpile of nuclear weapons would leap from some 300 warheads to nearly 18,000 nuclear weapons. Over the next 5 decades, the United States would produce more than 70,000 nuclear weapons and spend a staggering $5.5 trillion on nuclear weapons programs. In retrospect, and even at the time, it was clear that the H-bomb decision was a turning point in the Cold War's spiraling arms race. Like Oppenheimer, Kennan was thoroughly disgusted. I.I. Robbie was outraged. "I never forgave Truman," he said. After his abbreviated meeting with Truman, David Lilienthal told Oppenheimer that the president had also demanded that all the scientists involved refrain from discussing the decision publicly. "It was like a funeral party, especially when I said we were all gagged." Sorely disheartened, Oppenheimer considered resigning his position on the GAC. Acheson, fearful that Oppenheimer and Conant would take their appeal to the American public, made a point of telling Harvard's president, "For heck's sake, don't upset the apple cart." Conant told Oppenheimer of Acheson's warning that a public debate would be contrary to the national interest. So once again, Oppie played the role of loyal supporter. As he later testified, it did not seem responsible to resign at that time and promote a debate on a matter which was settled. Conant wrote a friend that he and Oppenheimer didn't resign, or at least I didn't, because I did not want to do anything that seemed to indicate we were not good soldiers. In retrospect, he regretted this decision. He thought they should both have immediately resigned. How different and better Oppenheimer's life would have been had he taken that step. But he didn't. And like Conant, Oppenheimer again fell into line. Nevertheless, he could not disguise his disdain for those who had pushed through the decision. The very evening of Truman's announcement, Oppenheimer felt obligated to attend a party at the Shoreham Hotel celebrating Strauss's 54th birthday. Finding Oppenheimer alone in a corner, a reporter walked up to him and said, "You don't look jubilant." Oppenheimer muttered in response, "This is the plague of Thebes." When Strauss tried to introduce his son and daughter-in-law to the famous physicist, Oppenheimer brusquely offered them a hand over his shoulder and then turned away without a word. Understandably, Strauss was incensed. The hydrogen bomb decision had been made in camera, without public debate and, Oppenheimer believed, without an honest evaluation of its consequences. Secrecy had become the handmaiden of ignorant policies, and so Oppenheimer decided to speak out against secrecy. On February 12, 1950, Strauss was angered to see Oppenheimer appear on the first telecast of Eleanor Roosevelt's Sunday morning talk show and openly challenge the manner in which the hydrogen bomb decision had been made. "These are complex technical things," Oppenheimer told the television audience, "but they touch the very basis of our morality. It is a grave danger for us that these decisions are taken on the basis of facts held secret." To Strauss, such comments signaled open defiance of the president, and he made sure the White House saw a transcript of Oppenheimer's words. Later that summer, in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, Oppenheimer repeated that these decisions have been taken on the basis of facts held secret. This, he thought, was neither necessary nor wise. The relevant facts could be of little help to an enemy, yet they are indispensable for an understanding of questions of policy. No one in the administration agreed. The trend was toward more secrecy. For nearly 5 years, Oppenheimer had tried to use his prestige and status as a celebrity scientist to influence Washington's growing national security establishment from the inside. His old friends on the left, men like Phil Morrison, Bob Serber, and even his own brother, had warned him that this was a futile gamble. He had failed in 1946 when the Acheson-Lilienthal plan for international control over atomic bombs was sabotaged by President Truman's appointment of Bernard Baruch. And now, once again, he had failed to persuade the president and members of his administration to turn their back on what Conant had described to Acheson as the whole rotten business. The administration now supported a program to build a bomb 1,000 times as lethal as the Hiroshima weapon. Still, Oppenheimer would not upset the apple cart. He would remain an insider, albeit one who was increasingly outspoken and increasingly suspect.